Hi, buddy. Welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Got Maury alongside. We'll take you to three. Having up our good friend Phil Venati. And then it's time for high school basketball on 14:30 tonight. And the Sharks on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, not only for today, but for the rest of what is a very busy week, particularly in regard to playoff football. Five straight days of games of enormous import, both obviously college-wise because of the semifinals and the National Football League. I have all those games. I'll tell you all about that a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net, or if you prefer, precisioneng.net, either way. And also, when we go over the schedules, I'll tell you about the great fundraising that Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, particularly for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. It is a Jackson Moore visit today with our de facto co-host. We'll talk basketball a little bit because, of course, Fresno State and San Jose State will play tonight. Talked to Paul about that yesterday. But our main focus will be transfer portal and what is going on and the comings and goings as we're in the middle of this two-week period. So we'll get to Jackson in just a couple of minutes. But first, our lead dogs want to spend some time with you, as they do every day, starting with the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They've been terrific in supporting everything across the valley athletically, and we thank them every day for everything they do for this great valley of ours. And right now, KFC has the great Zinger Chicken Sandwich. It has arrived. It is terrific. It is crispy. It's hand-breaded. It's a chicken filet. It's seasoned just right, served on a hot toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving, including mine right now at 2:08 in the afternoon. Again, Jorge, have somebody drop it on by. Just go to the KFCs and then just throw it over the 8-foot fence here, and I'll arrange for somebody to pick it up. It's bold, it's spicy, it's finger-licking good. It is a terrific Zinger sandwich at the local KFC. So whether you crave the spice or just a great taste, this is what you want to check out at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also keep in mind, on Tuesdays like today, the long-running $10 eight-piece or eight tenders offer is there at the local KFC, so stop by and see them in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Other reminders, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Lee's been in the Central Valley in NorCal since 1981. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. They're just very professional people, and they're available anytime you need them at 825-5337, which is 825-Lee's. Or LeesAir.com for more information on the web. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we'll bring Jackson Moore up in just a moment. And Al Phil will bring up not only his guests, but also callers from the general public. So mark it down, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. As far as forecast goes, actually 64 today is where we're supposed to top out. So it's real pleasant at the moment. Then it starts to cool off, 59 tomorrow, 55 on Thursday. Chance of a shower, mainly coastal, and they still are dealing with things from the weekend. We don't figure to see much, if any, precip on the valley floor for the next 10 days. But what we're going to see starting on Thursday is the lows going from the 40s all the way into the mid-30s. So a 44, 43 look at the lows for the next 2 days, and then all of a sudden on Thursday, 36, 37, Friday, 39, 38, 39, 39, 39, 41. You get the drift in the 10-day, and we're going to see the highs not in the 60s unless the sun breaks through, but rather in the high to maybe mid-50s, and naturally the ever-present fog is there, so be very careful. Pretty seasonal forecast right now, so enjoy the 64 today, and as we've talked over and over again, first of all, that the 10-day is always subject to change, particularly toward the latter part of that 10-day forecast. But also, even though we're roughly double where we normally would be rain-wise this time of the year, we still need those reservoirs to be full. Otherwise, we could have a very long and difficult spring and summer, particularly for the growing seasons for the ag people and also for the creature comforts, everybody at home. So hopefully things will work out, and we thank everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. All that having been said, we turn now to our de facto co-host, the king of the bark board. Hey, bark boy, here he comes, Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing? I'm doing just fine. You thought I forgot about bark boy, didn't you? if you've been watching any football, you can't escape that commercial, can you?
Don't forget if you're watching football.
Well, I mean, it's an Allstate commercial, and I mentioned this to you last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever I started harassing you about this nonstop, and that is, whoever the actor is that ends up being Bark Boy, he is typecast forever now. No matter what he does, all people are going to say is, isn't he the guy that played Bark Boy? So should I ask everybody who patronizes the board to start referring to you as Bark Boy? Is that what you'd rather have?
No.
Oh, come on. Instead of ask Jackson Moore, ask Bark Boy. See, remember when Pat Riley went ahead and copyrighted three-peat? I don't know if you remember that, when he was the Laker coach. I don't know that you can copyright Bark Boy because it's on the commercial, but you could use it as your moniker, Jackson. So you want to ponder that under the bushel full of bad ideas I proffer to you over the years? Is that what at the top of the list?
I think I'm good.
Yeah. Again, you just don't have the foresight I need you to have. I've told you this before. And as you know, my ideas are always great because I always want somebody else to do it, not me, right? That's always been the gig. So, you know, here's what you ought to do. Well, why don't you do it? Oh, no, I'm not doing it. It's for you. It's my special gift. All right. We'll get back then to Sir Jackson Moore, and we'll file Bark Boy for the moment. Although, Robert, if you're out there, please get on the board and refer to him one time as Bark Boy, and let's see what happens. That's my treat to you, Jackson. All right. By the way, one thing I want to mention to my great friend Gino in Visalia, who's emailed me again. I said this yesterday, guys. I can't get back to you on the emails much right now because, again, I keep having my brand new, 25 Ultra taken away. I thought the new phone, oh, no, doctors don't care. They take it no matter what. I can read your emails. It's hard for me to get back to you. I've tried to do it quickly. But those that have emailed me, I really, can't at length address it except on air. Gino brought up the fact that our friends at ESPN go out of their way to protect the shield of the National Football League, so much so that when Van Pelt and Stanford Steve do bad beats, they seem to avoid the National Football League like the plague. Well, I was going to bring this up because I've told Gino he's right. Gino, last night the Warriors lost a game in L.A. at the Intuit Dome, the old George Orwell Dome. They lost it, and there was a blown goaltending call that Gary Payton laid it off the glass. The officials didn't see it, called it a good block. The Warriors lost. That's not the reason they lost, because they had a chance to win late. But Kerr got thrown out. So NBA Today goes ahead and addresses that and doesn't bother to show the angle that shows that it was a goaltend. And I'm just going to say to Gino and Visalia, Gino, this is what we've been talking about. Evidently the leagues, in this case the NBA, doesn't want their officiating to look bad, so they ask ESPN, not for SportsCenter, but for NBA Today, which is obviously, their own in-house promotional vehicle every day, not to show the officials up. Because for those that didn't see what happened last night, particularly because it happened late night on the East Coast, because the game was out here, you have no idea why Steve Kerr went nuts. Why'd you just show the angle of the play? And then everybody would understand, but that would make the officials who admitted they blew the call look bad. Now, Jackson, you are an inveterate Warrior fan, so you really feel for them, right?
Well, I can tell you I saw that clip, but I didn't see the actual play. I just heard Snoop Dogg on the play-by-play reacting.
Yes. And that's a phrase that you never thought you'd utter. You were watching an NBA game, but you heard Snoop Dogg react to the play. The Peacock feed last night, Snoop was there as a sideline reporter, and he put his own particular spin on things, including evoking Steve Kerr, Arizona Wildcat. Now, maybe that's an offshoot of the Snoop Bowl. Maybe he is now completely indebted to the University of Arizona. Is that the case? So I don't know. All right. Well, anyway, that's Gino, that's for you, Paizan. You're right. They protect. They do not bite the hand that feeds them at ESPN, that's for sure. All right, Jackson, let's get to basketball. Fresno State-wise, 2-0-3 teams in conference start the battle for the bottom tonight. I asked Paul this yesterday. Since the Bulldogs have been building, I mean, they were down 16 in Vegas, took the lead in a big hurry, and actually had the lead with 8 minutes to go, could not hang on. Had an arm's length loss to Utah State, but they played credibly. Had they shot better with makeable shots, they might have been able to shock the world by winning that game. And then they led for most of the Nevada game, but lost and played very poorly in that final possession. San Jose's had kind of a similar path, but I asked Paul if there was a level of confidence the Bulldogs would win tonight. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think if you compare 0-3 resumes, which isn't a great way to look at things, perhaps, at this stage, but Fresno State's been more competitive so far. I know even though San Jose State lost to Utah State by 18, they were up with about 12 minutes to go, so it was a lot more competitive than that final score says. But I just think the course of Mountain West play, the Bulldogs have been the better team. It's just a matter of actually getting over that hump and getting that win, because I mean, even watching the Nevada game and seeing the Bulldogs lead for 30 minutes, there was just kind of this feeling in the back of your head that you felt like something was going to happen within the last 2 minutes that would cost them the game, and that's how it played out. They weren't able to put it away or make the plays that they needed late. And so when you go on the road against a rival, who you know, it should be pretty fairly even talent-wise. The betting line's almost a pick 'em. It's just, it feels like you just got to almost see it to believe it a little bit to get over the hump and get that victory. I have no doubt they're going to play competitively. I think it's going to be close, and I think that is potentially the problem, is if it is close and they haven't figured out how to win games lately. So, hopefully they can play so well that they don't get into a nail biter at the end.
As you mentioned, I think the line is 1.5. Bulldogs are underdogs, which, you know, the home court is supposed to be worth more than that. I know it's just another game for other people looking from afar, but how important is this, Jackson, given the fact that you're in San Diego, a very tough prospect for you to win a ball game at Viejas on Saturday? You got Colorado State coming back here next week. For the psyche of the team, how important is this game tonight? Because it is a winnable game, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think it's massive to get this one. To have a 6-game losing streak is not good. And you know, if you lose this one, it's probably going to turn into 8 at San Diego State. And then that's tough to dig out of. I think it also, it's within the context of that streak as well. You think about that Utah State game. And I mean, yeah, they played pretty well against the best team in the conference. It's just kind of tough to celebrate a 9-point loss when it's your 5th loss in a row. And it's tough to celebrate any more victories than a 1-point loss to Nevada, who was a lot better than you and were favored pretty decently as the road team coming in. Even though you lose that one, it's just if you're kind of going back and forth and you've got a win or two in conference, you know, those games you can live with a little bit better than if you're on a massive losing streak. So I think they need to get this one against San Jose State to shake things off. If you can do that, I think even if things don't go great at Viejas, you get Colorado State and Wyoming at home, you got a chance to win some games and you'll not have that kind of feeling, that funk on you that they seem to have right now. I know Coach Wahlberg's pretty convinced if they can just get one win and kind of shake this off, they can even out things and get some more wins. And I believe that's the case, but again, you lose San Jose State and then San Diego State, you got 8 losses in a row, and it's going to be tough to get motivated, I think, for Colorado State.
Well, there's no doubt that, and you referenced it, and we certainly talked about it yesterday on air with Paul, the belief that you're going to win or the belief you're going to lose, sometimes it has a direct impact on the outcome of the game. I've mentioned this, you can feel sometimes with a game you're behind that you're going to win. At other times, you feel like you're almost a passenger and you're not controlling that game when you're out in the court, and that it's going to get away from you. And it the only way you can solve that kind of feeling is by winning. I mean, that's the thing, right? to feel you're going to win, at some point you got to start winning, and then it builds. And I know that Vance has been trying to push through this. Do you see progress, Jackson, realistically, when you look at this team from where this team was last year to even where they were at the start of this year? Are you seeing that move forward? And if you are, is it enough to keep everything in place, coaching staff-wise, beyond the end of this year? Because we've talked that the way the contract is structured, the minute this second year ends, it's a fairly easy exit for the university should they choose to do that. Where are we at with the continuum of this team right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely improvement. I think Coach Wahlberg said it pretty well, talking about last year. They were just hoping to stay within 20 or 25 in some of these games. And this year, I agree, this is the way I've looked at it. Even before this losing streak, it just felt like probably the conference wasn't as top-heavy and the Bulldogs are not as far down in the cellar as they were last year. So it just looks like they have an opportunity to be competitive in just about every game, and they have been in the three games they've played so far. But being competitive doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you're not winning any of those games. So they got to find a way to get over that hump and win some of these games. I think they'll figure out enough eventually, and I think they will be competitive. I can only see maybe a couple of road games getting out of hand potentially. Other than that, I think they're a threat just about each night out. But they do have to snap this losing streak and kind of find some stabilization to make sure this thing doesn't spiral out. I think probably what happens is you're in a little bit of a middle ground. I don't think it's going to keep spiraling so bad to where the university is going to be looking to make a change. I also don't think it's probably going to be so great that there's a whole lot of long-term commitment or stability there. So especially when you look at, you know, they can get out of the contract at the end of the season, but then you still got another 14 days after that of a search. And it would be a little bit cleaner to get out of year three than year two as far as transitioning to a new coach. And maybe by year three, Wahlberg could turn a corner if there's some promise here down the month of January and February. So I think it would have to get pretty ugly for them to make a change. And I think this team's good enough to where it's not going to get to that.
Well, we've talked about this before. Nobody wants to win more than Vance wants to win. Anybody who's known him, certainly as long as I've known him, which is forever, you know how competitive he is. You're well aware of it from playing in the school district itself, Clovis Unified at Clovis East. So, you know, if want to is the main criteria, he definitely passes that test. We'll see how it plays out. Again, it's very difficult in this day and age to put a handle on things, particularly when you had an athletic director, or at the time, the AD, who was there when the decision was made, is not there. And as you had the interim status, the university president was the one making the decision. So you have the person who made the decision still in charge of the university, but an athletic director who's already changed, the football coach who could have stayed with the alum's choice, which was Tim Skipper, and we're glad that things worked out for Tim, but it's worked out well with Matt Ensign. That may be part of the desire that Classy may or may not have to move forward. The money is something that complicates it, there's no doubt, but it is, again, all about the wins and losses. And one more time, it is Bill Parcells' line, Jackson, which is, you are what your record says you are, for better or worse, right? And close only counts, and repeat after me, right? Slow dancing, horseshoes, and hand grenades. And so if you don't put it in that left-hand column, it's going to be very difficult to keep your job. I just am pulling for Vance. He's been a friend for a long, long time, and I want this to work out. And I've said it many times, no doubt in my mind 20 years ago when he should have gotten the job the first time, it would have worked out. This is a different world, a completely different situation, and so the dynamic makes it difficult. And I want to bring up to you what I brought up with Paul yesterday. In looking at the world of transfer portal and NIL, and this is in regard to football now, Jackson, they were talking about guys in the Rose Bowl, for goodness sake, who were making their fourth stop in 4 years. Now, how are we supposed to wrap our heads around that? That the guys, they're, and I'm not blaming them because it's, you know, again, the Don Ohlmeyer line, it's all about the money, right? But Jackson, when did we turn college athletics into a mercenary endeavor here? Four different stops at four different P4s in 4 years. Is that what we all wanted?
No, and basketball is much more of a mercenary sport than football. It's just inherently, you look at football, and at least most players on the football field went to their local high schools for 4 years. And, but, you know, there's a few football factories across the country, Southern California, Vegas, and Florida. But for the most part, you get a lot of homegrown kids. But I mean, basketball is so revolved around AAU and prep schools and travel ball. And you know, a lot of that is very individualistic. And then just with the nature of how small the rosters are, you've got so much movement and players trying to go up and down the ranks to try to either get playing time or NIL. So basketball especially, it's a tough one. And I look at what Fresno State's been able to put together this year, and you know, the margin from this being a lot different conversation is not that far. I mean, if they hadn't blown it against USC Upstate and Cal State Bakersfield, you know, maybe if they get that Cal State Northridge win, if that guy doesn't make his first three-pointer of the season to beat the Bulldogs there, if he could have closed out Nevada, even, you know, not even talk about the Utah State game. I mean, he could be 10-4 and 1-2 right now, and we'd be singing a much different tune. So, you know, the question is it a matter of talent that's the difference in that margin? Is it coaching, or, you know, what is it that the Bulldogs need to do? Because at least the gap right now between ugly and successful is not very far. Last year, it felt like it was a million miles away. So, you know, we'll see if they can close a little bit of that here in the coming weeks.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, Mountain West Network, and then the Bulldogs after the game in San Jose tonight. Go to Viejas for an 8 o'clock start on CBS Sports Network, one of the few national telecasts Bulldogs have this year. And then it's back home against Colorado State next Tuesday, so we'll keep on talking about it. And hopefully it works out tonight. If people are going to the game, be very careful in the fog, particularly coming back home. And if you're hanging around to watch it tonight, my suggestion is get a Roku. It's a lot easier to get the app through something like Roku or Fire TV or what have you. And you can watch the game. And we're to the point now where I don't know if you really even notice if you're watching an internet feed or just a regular telecast, although obviously you don't have the bells and whistles you do of the network games. But it's particularly basketball, a nice way to be able to see games that in years gone by prior to the internet we were really not able to see. Anyway, Fresno State, San Jose State tonight. The women play tomorrow at home, and I will talk to Matt Norville. We start our Thursday visits with Matt this Thursday. All right, Jackson, let's segue over to speaking of transfer portal and football to the comings and goings at Fresno State. Richie Anderson's a very good player, but the Bulldogs have not taken a huge amount of hits numbers-wise. Do you anticipate that to be the case all the way through this two-week period?
I believe so. I'm almost a little bit concerned that there hasn't been enough of an exit from maybe some players that were a little more down the depth chart. You know, you look at the quarterback room, right, and you know, you thought maybe some of those guys would take off based off what's going on, and they haven't, other than Braden Turner. So I'm curious. I wouldn't be stunned if there's more movement by the end of this 14-day window, but I would be pretty surprised if it was of the significant variety. There's another wrinkle here is that a lot of players have announced that they're coming back. They put out these statements and presumably have signed some NIL deals with the Valley Co-op to agree to come back next year. And there are a handful of key players that haven't put those out yet, so you're kind of hoping that you see that announcement and not a portal announcement by the end of the pitch. But for the most part, it's been pretty quiet for Fresno State, especially relative to the rest of the Pac-12. A lot of exits coming out of San Diego State. Even Boise State's had quite a bit more key players leave than Fresno State. So Oregon State and Washington State are going through transitions where a ton of players are leaving. Colorado State's had about 30 transfer exits. So it's pretty stable times at Fresno State, and it's hard to blame Richie Anderson when you hear about the type of figures that a player like that's worth. I think the Bulldogs are still okay there with Brock Liam coming back healthy. I think he would have had a breakout season this year had he stayed healthy. So in pretty good shape, but I think the biggest thing for the Bulldogs right now is they do have a lot of seniors that they need to replace, and it would be a lot nicer to do it through the portal than to throw out some freshmen or potentially some guys that haven't played a whole lot here yet.
Right. Well, we've talked about the running backs a lot, and we were talking about in relation to who may look for greener pastures, and I mean that in a literal and figurative sense, green pastures, all right? But the way things played out this year, nobody, this year past, nobody really had that kind of breakout year, right? We saw from time to time, we certainly saw the potential of a Speedy Luke. We also saw from time to time Bryson Donaldson be the factor that I frankly thought he was going to be consistently during the year. But nobody, maybe consistently is the word, nobody consistently was there week after week. Does that mean, Jackson, that everybody is definitely coming back? And is there enough room at the end? Are there enough carries, enough reps to have everybody coming back?
Yeah, I was really impressed by the way they were able to juggle that, especially at the end of the year when it seemed like Speedy was wearing down a little bit, and then all of a sudden Arsenault and Elijah Gilliam were coming in hot. I think there was a point in the bowl game where I think all five of those guys had three or four touches in the backfield, which is incredible. The fact that they were able to keep all those guys on the same page and bought in and ready when it was their turn, you just don't see stuff like that. I mean, the Bulldogs had only three linebackers basically they're expecting to play this year, and one of them bailed on the team by the end of the first month of the season because he wasn't playing enough. So that's how touchy things could get like that when you're in that type of a rotation or snap share. So that was impressive. And you do have Arsenault and Gilliam both graduating, so you can imagine if Speedy, Donaldson, Ramirez all come back, maybe it's just the three of them that handle the most of the load.
Right.
Julius Gerlich had an impressive carry at the end of the bowl game. I wouldn't be stunned if they try to work him in some way, perhaps, as a fourth guy. And Jadis Lucky's coming in as a true freshman, and that might be a neat duo down the road. But it seems like, as you mentioned, no one really had a huge breakout season. And still, if you have the NIL budget to account for those guys, and probably have a bit of a three-headed monster going into next year where they can all have a role and all be pretty effective, I mean, that would be a huge kind of a core for this offense to base itself around going into next season.
And that is great news, and it appears to be the case, and I'll be honest with you, Jackson, I did not think, and I'm talking about just in regard to Donaldson and Speedy Luke, I did not think that long-term that they could coexist. And I don't mean that they're not friends, and I don't mean that by any means that they weren't looking at team first. I'm just saying, you have a lot of people in your ear that are telling you, you could get more reps somewhere else, and particularly for Speedy, who's got a year to go. So as it stands now, it appears that they are then satisfied, and with Ramirez having his role, there's no doubt that puts the Bulldogs in good stead in that backfield if that holds. Now, two things. One, Freeman, how big is it that he's able to come back here?
That's a big one as well, especially because I was kind of under the thought that if he did get that extra year, between
somewhere
being
else.
In
yeah.
more of a run-heavy offense and also having a pretty decent season himself, and especially the way that it finished, that's typically the kind of guy that goes out in the portal these days and looks to see if maybe they can cash in somewhere else with that last year. Maybe a Power 4 school might want him in some sort of a rotation. But he committed to the Bulldogs quickly and jumped on the opportunity to stay. So that was big. And then also you throw in Ezekiel Veit in there, Ezekiel Avitt, who's going to stay, and Hope Duvall's committed to stay. That's a solid three-man. The passing game wasn't great this year. There was times, especially early in the year, I think there was concerns about the receivers unit as a whole. But that was when Avitt was injured and when Duvall wasn't quite ready to be out there as much as he was in the last couple of games. So I think they would love to have those three guys on the field as much as possible next year. Maybe take some of the load off the tight ends with Richie Anderson and Jake Tarwater both moving on. And especially if you might have a quarterback that's a little more dependable in the passing game, it could change the math a little bit on the personnel the Bulldogs use.
Well, yeah, and under the header of burying the lead, I saved the quarterbacking for last, Jack. So that, which is the journalistically that would be a terrible lead, right? It was like the fourth paragraph down in the story. But Paul brought it up yesterday, and he actually brought it up the week before, and he's absolutely correct that the Mandel injury changed a lot of the dynamic late. If you assume the season was going to play out the same way, meaning Mandel wasn't going to see action until later in the year, is there any question in your mind that after things got away in regard to chasing the conference title, that Mandel would have been in there in a vetting situation rather than going back to Warner, and that it is unfortunate, even though the Bulldogs did win games late, it is unfortunate that, at least from a coaching staff point of view, they didn't get that vetting from Mandel without even costing him a year?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. I still feel like, based off of the comments from the staff in the spring and the fall, that they probably still would have gone with Conklin at that time, but I do think we would have seen Mandel at some capacity. I know Coach Davis, even when all three of them were competing for the starting job still in August, had mentioned Mandel as it's kind of hard to consider him the running quarterback when he was in the same room as Joshua Wood the year before, but right. The room with Conklin and Warner, they did see some opportunities for him to maybe use his athleticism and his legs a little bit in a way that the other quarterbacks wouldn't. So I think at some point we could have seen some packages at least, or maybe some scenarios where maybe they, when things got especially uncertain at the quarterback unit, maybe they would have tried playing him alongside someone else, trade some drives here and there. But, of course, that wasn't on the table here. So the fact that Conklin and Mandel haven't entered the portal is very intriguing. I'm under the impression that Fresno State's on the hunt for a guy that would likely be the starter if they can find their quarterback that's within the budget. And, I'm not sure if that's going to happen within the portal window or not. So, these two guys have decisions to make, and I think it would be, either way, critical for the program to have one of those guys in to push for the starting job and potentially be the backup, so you don't have to put that on the shoulders of a Deegan Rose as a true freshman. So still a lot of questions that are unanswered, both incoming and outgoing, I feel like.
Well, in regard to the next year, and we were certainly discussing it in previous weeks, the reality is that the teams that you will see in conference beginning next year, the Bulldogs did not have great success with this year. They beat Oregon State. Of course, that was a non-conference game, but that is a future conference opponent. And they beat Boise State. And one could have said going into the year, before we saw how it was going to play out with Oregon State, that those might have been the two most difficult games with future conference opponents. And the Bulldogs won them both. But they also turned around and lost at Colorado State and lost home games to San Diego State and Utah State. Are you at all concerned that when you take the quote-unquote bottom feeders out, that the Bulldogs are in trouble conference-wise, Jackson, or are they in good stead and this was just a very small sample size and it didn't quite work out for them at 2-3 this last year against the conference mates that formed the Pac-12?
Yeah, it's a very interesting sample size, and I think while there's really not a bottom feeder in the conference, there's probably not a team that you're overly concerned about playing either. Boise State won the Mountain West 3 years in a row, and you got to give them some credit for that, but the fact is the Bulldogs have fared pretty well against them as of late, even on the road, so there's really not one team you're overly concerned about. I think what you're probably going to see is just a ton of parity, and we've already, I think, gotten used to that in the last 2 years of the Mountain West. It's not been top-heavy or bottom-dwelling within a handful of teams. It feels like everyone's pretty competitive against one another, and I think that's even further when you look at the teams that are going to be at the Pac-12 together here. I would say, at least as far as portal activity goes, and off seasons go, Fresno State's in a very stable situation relative to the other schools. They've got a lot of seniors to replace, which is going to be a more of a challenge maybe than some of the other schools. But you factor in Colorado State, Oregon State, Washington State, all going through coaching changes. San Diego State's having to replace most of its defensive staff and personnel. Boise State's got some players to replace. Things are pretty stable with the Bulldogs right now, and it feels like there's a kind of like last year, as far as when you look at the team on paper, it just feels like there's a few holes to replace. And if they can find a Jaden Pearson and a Simeon Harris and, you know, a couple of those type of impact players that they got last year, they might be about five or six of those guys away from just not being, you know, not skipping the beat from 25 to 26, where a lot of teams are going to be going through wholesale changes.
Well, if they can play defense the way they did for the vast majority of the 25 season, they're going to be in good shape, because there were just a couple of stub your toe moments, the Colorado State chief among them. But by and large, the defense played outstanding football and enabled the offense to be as conservative as it was. The unfortunate part is a couple of those games that got away really cost Fresno State what could have been an outstanding season. So it turned into a good one, but there is the what if that hangs over it. The last question for you, Jackson, and normally we would visit twice in a week. We'll start that Tuesday, Friday set up. I'll have Brian Panish on with the wrap up this week, and then we'll get back to the Tuesday, Fridays beginning next week. But the question, and again, back to the old Meyer line, no matter what the question is in sport, it always has the same answer, money. What do the Bulldogs need, just in a general sense, do you know, in regard to a monetary look, a budget for NIL on a year-to-year basis? Any idea?
Yeah, well, I think the most public thing we've seen mentioned was over at Washington State with the Kirby Moore press conference and their AD. There was a pretty public sentiment that they felt $7 million was kind of the target number for a competitive Pac-12 program. And I think Fresno State is a ways away from that number, but they're trending towards it. That's maybe not too unrealistic of a goal within the next 2 or 3 years, perhaps, to get to. There may be more money behind the scenes that comes faster than the trend is going currently, but I think there's enough there, at least going into the Pac-12, to put this roster together and be competitive. And that seven target, I think, is going to be a decent bridge, where you're funding a lot more than the remaining Mountain West schools will be, and you're not all that far away from some of the low Power Four type schools. And of course, that's kind of the target for what the Pac-12 is hoping to be in general. So if Fresno State can meet that mark, and if the Pac-12 can meet that mark across the board, it should be a conference that, if there is a fifth auto bid to be had, should be very competitive for that spot.
We know there are teams that the conference would love to pull in. It's complicated. We brought up Cal and Stanford. You've mentioned, because you published those boards for so long, that it would be dragging, kicking, and screaming for either to come back. It would be an admission of defeat, which those two schools don't really like to do that. And also there's a financial aspect. That having been said, Jackson, when we talk about slicing up the pie, we've talked over and over again that ideally at this point, as you build this conference, if you could get to a ninth team, then you would have the true 8-game, 4 home-and-home schedule for football. That, balanced by the fact that every time you invite somebody in, it slices up the pie. We haven't gotten the public pronouncement yet about exactly what the financial worth is in these myriad of contracts they have. They have good exposure with a variety of networks, but we haven't heard the monetary figure. Is there going to be a hesitancy to even go to 9 because of the monies involved with NIL? You don't want to pare away any of that money if you don't have to another school coming in?
It's interesting point of view, because if you are one of the 8 and you're you're going to lose some of that revenue that now you can share with the student athletes by bringing in more schools. Now you're even more against that maybe than you would be in the past, just by simply having that money coming in in general to run your athletic department. So I think also, though, there's complications with just 8 football schools. 9 would be a nice number for scheduling purposes and taking some of the workload off of the athletic departments to potentially fill some extra games. And I think,
right.
I just feel like for perception-wise, if you could get the right school, you just got to do it. I think that's the one box that this whole process hasn't checked from my point of view. You know, if you could have gotten some of the best of the American Conference and really kind of distance yourself perception-wise as the best non-Power 4 conference, you know, if you could grab Memphis or Tulane or maybe another school or two, just perception-wise, I think you got to pursue that and really kind of set yourself apart here.
Well, we'll see what happens. I know this, and Oregon State has to be, more than any other school, absolutely apoplectic about where they were with their intrastate rival, Oregon, and where Oregon is now and where Oregon State is now. So I can imagine in Corvallis there's not much love lost between there and Eugene, Oregon at this point. So I guess you pick up the phone and call Phil Knight and complain is what you do, and then Phil puts you on hold and never gets back to you. That's just my theory on this thing. Jackson, on the board, you still have the special going on?
Yes, it's 50% off a year right now. There's a whole lot of transfer portal action going on. Bulldogs only have one commitment so far from Sac State defensive end Micah Mosley, but
right.
A lot of offers out, a lot of visits going on. We'll be doing our best to get all the scoop on that. So if you head to barkboard.com, it's 50% off to join. It comes out to just $5 a month that way.
Great, great deal. And by the way, I'm just teasing Robert. Do not request that Jackson be known as Bark Boy. All right, I'll save that for some other time. And then finally, as I let you go, I'll miss you later in the week. We'll catch up next week, but you are threading tonight, is that correct? Not from San Jose, but the game itself?
Yeah, I'll be threading and trying to line up some calls with the recruits while the game's going on.
Well, hopefully the team is fully focused. you are busy multitasking. So as Keith Jackson would say, Jackson, you're out there threading. That's what you're doing right now. So go ahead and enjoy the threading, my friend, and have a great end of the week. By the way, very quickly here, if I were to ask you who will be playing for the national championship on the 19th, who wins the 2 semifinals, which are coming up Thursday and Friday on our air, by the way?
Oh, well, I can't pick against Oregon, and I'll take Miami on the other end.
Way to protect that paycheck. Unbelievable. All right. I'll talk to you later, Jackson. Take care. I'll see you.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Jackson is the head of recruiting for 24/7 for Oregon. So I was just talking to start a show about not biting the hand that feeds them. Jackson Moore is a very smart young man. That's all I can tell you. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, and then he's got basketball tonight, Fresno Christian in Kingsburg. We also have the Sharks and the Blue Jackets up in San Jose, and a lot of football starting on Thursday. I'll talk about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 52. A few minutes ago, the show handed off to Phil's outstanding show. Behind the Bench, normally 3 to 6, today 3 to 5, because at 5 o'clock he'll be packing up and heading out to play. Well, actually not play. He will describe the play. If Phil is playing, that would be really amazing. It would be terrific because he could describe the dribble drive, and then if somebody knocks him down, he can say, "Don't move me. I think I'm hurt." So Phil will actually call the game. He will not play tonight, though I would suggest he tries that at least one time before this year ends at Fresno State. We'll see about that. Anyway, it's Fresno Christian in Kingsburg tonight at 6:45. Also, the Sharks and the Blue Jackets, 6:30 to pre, 7 o'clock. They'll drop the puck in San Jose. Tell you all about the schedule for the rest of the week right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. More information, and we commend Ed each and every day for the great fundraising he does through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. The goal has been, and it has worked beautifully, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. A lot of those grads at the Lyles College of Engineering go to work for Ed at his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Mention tonight's lineup. Then a little bit later in the week, that the Lakers are in New Orleans tonight. You can catch that one TV-wise if you have Spectrum Sportsnet. Also, you've got the national networks with games. We will get back to the Lakers tomorrow when they play the Spurs. We'll see if Wemby's going to play or not. Spurs play tonight. I think he wants to play, so I'm sure he's going to play against the Lakers tomorrow. And then for us, the marquee matchups later in the week, we do have, as I was talking to Jackson, the national semifinals through ESPN Radio, as the Oregon Indy game will be on Friday, and the Ole Miss game will start things off against Miami on Thursday. So it's five straight days of critically important playoff football, the two national semifinals for the college football playoff that will lead to the title game on Monday the 19th, and then the wild card weekend through Westwood One for the National Football League. We'll have all five games for you. You have the doubleheader on Saturday. The Rams have the early game. They're big favorites at Carolina. They lost there a few weeks ago. I don't expect the Rams to lose there this time. And then the Packers and the Bears. The 49ers have the middle game of the three on Sunday. They kick at 1:30 our time in Philly. And then we'll finish things off with the Monday night wild card game when the Steelers host the Texans. And of course, we'll have everything all the way through the Super Bowl from Westwood One, and everything, of course, with the national championship in the college ranks from ESPN Radio. So stay tuned for all of that, and we'll tell you more about it a little bit later in the week. Mentioned Phil's show 3 to 6, his outstanding show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture you're going to find anywhere. Nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show. Some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. Paul Metters has two fine shows. One on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesday evenings. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. Paul also has his long-running show on Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon, from First String Sports on 1430, which is Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. I mentioned I can't really get back to you privately, but I'll try to address whatever I can over the air. First names are fine, and we'll certainly get caught up the best we can on the backlog of emails. I do want to shout out to our longtime friend Greg and Tulare. Thanks for acknowledging the wonderful person that Bob Fraley was. And by the way, one quick sidebar about Bob Fraley. His son Doug championed pole vaulter, and it just so happened that he was living in the same apartment complex as myself and my wife a long, long time ago, back in the early 80s. And I pulled in one day. I didn't know that Doug was there, and I saw his pole vaulting poles were there in the parking lot right next to all the cars. And I asked him afterward. He said, I can't fit him in the apartment. I can't lay him down on the cement there. So I just put him down in the parking lot, and I trust nobody will take them. And you know what? In the time that we were in the same complex, I don't think anybody ever tried to abscond with the pole vaulting poles of Doug Fraley, who was a great guy and obviously a great pole vaulter. All right. The final reminder as we wrap it up comes from our friends at KFC. I want to remind you again, the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman have the new Zinger chicken sandwich available right now. It's a crispy hand-breaded chicken filet seasoned just right and served hot on a toasted bun with cool, crisp lettuce and creamy sauce that hits every craving, including mine. It's bold, it's spicy, it's finger-licking good, and I'd like it at my front door, Jorge, in about the next 20 minutes, if you don't mind. Whether you crave spice or just crave the great taste, the Zinger delivers the delicious KFC crunch you love. So what are you waiting for? Stop by those local KFCs. Pick up the Zinger chicken sandwich today. Also, you have the long-standing Tuesday offer still in place. The $10 bucket that is either 8 pieces of chicken or 8 tenders. Stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Tell them thanks for supporting everything Fresno State Athletics and everything else in the Valley, sporting-wise. So thanks to those local operators. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and to our good friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Again, they are the main go-to for everything business-wise, 825-5337. That's LeesAir.com or the Lee's Air Hotline. You can give Phil a call, 559-320-1430. Thanks, as always, to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. I'll have Jack Furtig with me tomorrow to talk about Fresno State and San Jose. That game, 7 o'clock tonight from the Event Center in San Jose. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Jack, and we'll preview the women's game. Matt Norville with me on Thursday to talk about tomorrow's women's game and what happened there at SMC tomorrow night, of course. And then Friday, Brian Panis with me to wrap up the football season. We've been off the last couple of Fridays because of the holidays. We'll see you guys then. Phil coming up. He'll be there for 2 hours, and then basketball, and then for us, we'll look forward to Fresno State at 7 o'clock. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.